Good morning. I haven't lost my mind. I just feel real, real good this morning. And because God has answered my prayer. And my prayer last night and this morning, as I studied and as I restudied this morning, and was that we come into the house of God with a crescendo of praise. And when I'm sitting there and I'm laughing, I'm saying, God, thank you, because I'm hearing voices over here just giving God praise, just in song. I'm hearing verses behind me, and not just a little quiet whisper of a praise. I believe today my prayer has been answered because I heard your voice praising God. Not a whisper. See, we should be, for me, it's easy, okay? For me, we could just shout it out all day long. If you catch me on the right day, I might run a little bit, okay? But for us to come together like this morning, I am so happy. I'm praising God for what he has done in this place this morning. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard it. I don't know who, either it was Roger or Jerome, y'all can sing over here. Not saying y'all can't, I don't wanna mess it up over here, okay? But somebody over here was getting busy this morning. So praise God for that, okay? I say that because today, the thought for today is praise the Lord. I like the way the Holy Spirit just does what he wants to do. The thought for today is just simply praise the Lord. And we're coming from Psalm 150 and all six verses of that song. Mine's cut off, so I don't even have mine. So. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150. It reads, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the lute and the harp, praise him with the timbrel and the dance, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. As an introduction, we have reached the grand finale of the Psalms. Yes, it's the last Psalms, but this is the grand finale of the Psalms. And what could be more appropriate than to find a short appointed appeal for creation, to find its true destiny in the worship of God. For we are his creation, and our destiny is to praise and to worship God. I like it when people say, I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to find what it is that God wants me to do. Well, if we read the Psalms, we'll see over and over and over again that our true purpose in life is not to get rich, is not to accumulate stuff, but our true purpose in life is to praise and worship God. I got one amen. When we read this Psalms, we must answer four key questions on the subject of praise. Where? Number one. Number two is, don't turn there, just follow. Number two is what? Number three is how? And number four is who? What, where, how, and who? four questions that we must answer when we read this Psalms, or that the Psalms will answer. Okay, before we get into that, hear this. We were created for the glory of God. That's why we were created. Therefore, we must find our very reason for our existence in the praise of the Lord. You know, because the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You see, if you turn to the book of Revelation, you know, which is the culmination of our salvation, and then you look around in the 21st and the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and you see what the angels are doing, and what they're doing is they're crying out, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so what we need to understand is that that's what we're going to do when we're up there. And when we get there, you know, if we haven't practiced down here, how much practice we gonna have? Come on, somebody help me. I'm excited this morning. How much practice are we gonna have for when we get there? Huh? If we're supposed to give honor and glory and praise and worship to God in the sanctuary, then what we need, what all this is just a time of preparation. Preparation for the time when we see him for ourselves. How do you ever think about how you're going to act when you see the master, when you see Jesus, what you're going to do? The song says, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what I would do when I fall, when I bow before him, when I'd be dumbfounded, wouldn't be able to say anything but one thing. That each and every one of us is going to do when we see him, I guarantee you, everything within you is going to have to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are created. And our chief end is to give honor and glory to the Lord. When we think about the words, love, when we think about the words joy, when we think about the word peace, when we think about the word happiness, praise, and worship, what word comes to mind? That's a little trick question. If y'all want to try to answer it, that's cool. Okay, that's good. Because, you know, what kind of word comes to mind when we think about all this? Well, I think a little crazier or funnier than other people, but the word that comes to mind, my mind is emotions. Emotions. You can't love somebody without having some emotion. Tell me about it, okay? You can't. How many of y'all men, before you met your wife, had a good shirt to put on, but you only wore that shirt on a special occasion? Y'all with me? Y'all know what I'm talking about. and everything in you, that all your emotions said, this is a special occasion. I'm going to see the one I love, so I'm gonna put my good clothes on, right? How many of you was filled with joy at the sight of your loved one? How she walked up to you. Let me not go there. And all you can see is the one that you love coming towards you. Joy unspeakable. Man, she looked good. We ain't gonna go there. Okay. How about a time of peace in your life? You ever had a time where it was just, life was good? Yeah. Life was just peaceful. You know, how did you feel then? Oh man, that emotions of joy and happiness and all of that in a time of peace. And then God had delivered you from something. Something that had you bound for many a time, many a day, many a night, and you struggled with it. But then all of a sudden, as you was weeping at night, the morning came and joy came in the morning. And what did you do? You begin to praise God, and you begin to worship God, and you begin to thank him for how he has delivered you. All of these things are wrapped up in our emotion. And so what we need to understand is that our emotion is not the smallest part of who we are, but our emotion plays a great big part of who we are. A humongous part of who we are. Have you ever watched a movie and then all of a sudden the movie got sad? And come on, man, I know you don't cry, but that movie got to you, right? Yeah, you didn't, you know, you shed a tear and turned your face a little bit, you know? But the movie got to you. Emotion. Something happened. The emotion. That's the word that comes to mind. The human personality is said to consist of roughly 4/5 emotions and 1/5 intellect. Hear that. 4/5 emotions and 1/5 intellect. This means that our decisions are arrived at on the basis of 80% emotion. Of 80% emotion. Ladies, I haven't done this, but seriously, I haven't. But I've seen my wife talking to somebody, and that person was crying, then all of a sudden she start crying. Right?
Yeah.
Man, we don't do that, do we? No, we don't. We don't do that stuff. Sure, right. This means at 80, based on 80% emotions, or only 20% intellect. Emotions play a big part of who we are. Without them, we're only using 20% of who we are. Huh? To engage in a confrontation or even discussion without taking emotions into account is to be only 20% effective in your dealings with people. 20% effective in our dealings with people if we take our emotions out of it. If we show no emotions during our time of praise and worship, then how much of ourselves are we really giving to God? 20% or less. If we take our emotions out of our worship. If you read in the scripture, 12 times the psalmist says to praise the Lord. 12 times. In 150 and verse 1, he writes, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament. The question is, where should we praise him? The psalmist says, in his sanctuary and in his mighty firmament, which is another way of saying everywhere on earth and in heaven. Everywhere on earth and in heaven. His sanctuary, as we might call it, when we enter into the house, we're supposed to enter into the house with what? Praise. With thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. There is no place where worship is out of place. You know, we went to Iowa City. That's where we saw Sarah right, down there at that time. Went to Iowa City because my niece, Lisa's niece, had a 1-pound baby. I told you guys about that. And so we went to the cafeteria to eat. And there was a man there, I don't know what culture he was from, but he said, "Hello, sir, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." He said, "Well, bless God." He said, "Well, did you find everything that you needed?" I said, "Well, yeah, everything we found was good." He said, "Glory to God." Did he not? So everything that I came back with, he was doing what? Praising God. So what about with us looking at the things that we go through in life? Can every situation be a blessing to God, be a praise to God? Or do we just look at the situation more than the one that's able to get us out of the situation? Don't you know we should be praising God all times, at all times? And I'll say that, use that scripture a little bit. At all times, at all times. This man really triggered something in my mind. This man was sitting there at work and people were looking at him funny, but all he could say was, "Bless God, praise God, glory be to God." Now, all that, all while he would ask you a question, you would answer, he would come back with a praise. That's something right there. That's something. So there's no place where we should not be able to praise and worship God. In Psalm 68, 24 through 26, it says, They have seen your procession, oh God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on the instruments followed after. Among them were the maids playing timbrels. So in other words, they came in to the house of God with mirth. They came in to the house of God praising and worshiping. They came in doing the things that was going to elevate God, give God glory, give God honor, give God praise. And they didn't do it quietly, because they came in doing what? With some tambourines, and they came in probably dancing, and they came in, you know, allowing. Why? Because the king's procession. It was to bring in the king. Verse 26 says, "Bless God in the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel." Blessing. Psalm 103 and 22 says, "Bless the Lord, all his works," in where? All places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. In all places, where is it that God does not reign? Everywhere, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. 150 and 2 says, for what? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? For what? In other words, for what should we praise God? For his mighty acts, and according to his excellent greatness. In other words, we should praise him for what he has done for us. You know, if God has not done anything for you, then you have a right not to praise him. But if you're breathing today, if you're walking today, if you're seeing today, if your fingers move, if your toe hurt, guess what? God has allowed it to happen, and God is giving you strength through the midst of all the troubles that you're going through.
And we are here today.
He's giving it to you. It's because of him. So if nothing else, I can see. Praise the Lord. If nothing else, I had a bowl of cereal this morning. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? If nothing else, God has done mighty works and acts that we take for granted sometimes. We don't think about it. But it's all because of him. for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellence, greatness for who he is. Some people might frown on me when I say this. It is a sin. Now listen to me good now. And I can duck pretty good. I feel good today. But it is a sin to be unenthusiastic when we remember and speak about the excellencies of the Creator, our God, and our Redeemer. Well, what do you mean it's a sin? Well, if we give more honor to the football game, to LeBron James and all those, and to different actors and to different people and to different situations of life, if we give more time, more effort, if we give most of our time, our praise, and we give most of our effort to those things, then, in other words, they have become your God. And if we can sit in the sanctuary of God and we can go through our life and we can only speak of God in a monotone voice and not lift up our voice in praise to the one who has created us, it is a sin. Why? God said, I will not have any other God before me. And what we have just done is place something or somebody ahead of God. And we're giving them more praise and worship than we are God.
Amen.
It is a sin to be unenthusiastic when we remember and speak the glories of our Creator and God and Redeemer. Listen at this. Hear this now. After passing through the Red Sea, Moses sang a song of deliverance. And Miriam and the maidens followed him, singing with timbrels. Why? Because they had just been delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. King David danced before the Ark of the Covenant as the presence of the Lord had once again entered into Jerusalem. Why? Because the presence of God had been taken away from Israel, from Jerusalem. And now God's presence, God himself, the Ark of the Covenant, was coming back into the house, into Jerusalem. And David could not restrain himself. Even his wife, Michal, got upset with him because he danced before the Lord. He stripped his clothes off and he began to dance before the Lord. She got upset because she thought that he had danced in front of the people. But no, David said, I was dancing for the Lord. See, when we're really serious about our praise, when we're really serious about our worship, it doesn't matter who's around you. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter what just happened. What all that matters is that I'm in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to worship you with all. If you tell me to run, God, I'm going to run. If the Spirit leads me to shout, I'm going to shout. If the Spirit leads me to raise my hand, God, you deserve that from me. You deserve that from me. As the Apostle Peter preached the word of the Lord to Cornelius and his household, the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to what? Praise and magnify God. So it wasn't a quiet union. It wasn't something in the house where they just broke bread and they just said some few good words. No, when the Holy Spirit came, they couldn't help themselves. But they got up and began to praise and magnify the God. Why? Because salvation had just come to the Gentiles. And they were happy, they were excited about what God was doing. I'm a firm believer that you have to let somebody know If you say you serve this awesome and mighty God, how can you say you serve an awesome and mighty God and then have this old little pious look? And I hope I ain't stepping on, now you pray, so I hope I'm not stepping on too many toes, but I'm someone that I come from a noisy group. And when God says for me to speak, I don't care who's around me. I'll do it whenever the Lord tells me to. And it's time for us as God's people to recognize that it's just not a cultural thing. It's just not the black folks doing that. It's just not the Pentecostals doing that. It's just not the charismatic church doing that. But it's the children of God. It's all of God's children. We ought to have a crescendo of praise. We ought to have a moment of life where we give God all that we have within us. And not be ashamed. I'm sorry, I preach this way everywhere I go. So that's just me. Psalm 103. Psalm 105. Verse 3-5. Did I talk about the what? I got excited. Did I talk about the what? Yeah, I talk about the what? His mighty acts. Go to 150 and 3-5. How should we praise him? Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Y'all hear that? And dance. I don't even know how to dance. So that'd be look. I would look funny trying to dance, wouldn't I? But if he told me to dance, she'll tell you I can't dance. Can't dance. Can't you got me there? Walk. Praise him with, and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. This is all this is telling us is we are to praise him with an orchestra of every kind of instrument. The trumpet with its commanding notes, the lute with its leading pastoral tones, the harp gentle and sweet, the timbrel festive and uninhibited in its accompaniment of the dance. You know, it's something about a drum beat, something about that timbrel when you get to playing it. You can't help but move a little bit, you know. I can only do this, but I can do that pretty good, you know. You see? Stringed instruments of all sorts, the cello, the bass, the violin, the mandolin, the guitar, capture every note and chord in the world of music to honor and praise our great God and King. Wind instruments, the flute, the oboe, the clarinet. I love the clarinet. I do. I love it. Wish I could play it. Love the clarinet. And the percussion instruments, bless them. Especially the crashing, clashing, ear-splitting cymbals punctuating the anthem with its loud amen. Y'all hear that? With an orchestra of music. You know, I bought my son, you know, what did I buy him? I bought him a couple of instruments. They never finished playing them, but I bought them. And see, what we have to do is we have to get over the practice part. Because once sooner or later, they're going to learn how to play it. And so if you, with an instrument, you know, because God says that this is how he wants to be praised. He wants to be blessed, not just with the fruit of your mouth, but if you're able to play an instrument, a guitar, a drum, a flute, a whatever it is, then that is what God has given you in order for you to praise him. I heard before, and I love it. A young man came to church and played Amazing Grace on the saxophone. Oh my goodness. Heart just overflowed. Heart just overflowed. Amazing Grace on the saxophone. 156 says, so how? 156, this brings us to the last question. Who? And the answer, of course, is let everything. Who? Everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The mass choir of all voices of all the earth are given the clue to join in the loud eternal boast of praise to our God. You know what's the highest form word that we use for praising God? Hallelujah! You see? See, and I dare you to say it sometime. You can't help it after a while, but continue to say it. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. A woman told me some years ago, I dare you to say it 3 times. And from then on, I've been saying it. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's the highest form of praise that we can give to our God. Listen here. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at what? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When? At all times. See, so we need people that's going to be an all-time praiser. Not a praiser when I feel like it. Not a praiser when things are just going good. But a praiser at all times. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that we must give thanks in everything. In everything, in the down times, in the up times, in the no times, in whatever time, we are to give thanks and praise to God. How? In all times. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the what? The fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. Ezra 3:11 says, and they sung responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Can you say that about you? His mercy endures forever toward Stephen. His mercy endures forever. So guess what? I'm going to praise him. Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. When God has done, when his house was built, they gave a crescendo of praise when his house was built. It wasn't just a clap of the hand. I don't know where we came up with that anyway. I think we watched too much TV. And when they get done entertaining and stuff, what do we do? It's just not happening here. I said, dang, we as black people, how in the world we get off of shouting and praising? And we start going like this. When I was born up in the black church, that's a whole other, I would be here for another couple hours with that one. Because somebody get to shouting over here, and then it's like a fire. Then it's just start hopping up all over the church. People praising God and just giving God honor and glory for what he has done. Psalm 22:22. It says, I will declare your name to my brethren. Where? In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. And Psalm 51 and 15, David, his songs of repentance, actually, unto God. He says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Why? Because sin will close your mouth. Y'all didn't get that, did you? You're not going to act the same way. Because why? The guilt will close your mouth. But David is saying to God, God, you forgive me and open my lips. Why? Because I want to give you praise. My mouth will show forth your praise. My mouth will show forth your praise. I'm done. In closing, praise is a natural and necessary response to fully enjoy the object that is praised. For example, when watching a football game on television, it is a natural response to praise a tremendous play. That's right, isn't it? You know, how many times do you get up and run to the TV? Man, you was wrong. That was a bad call. Dude, you know that was wrong. How many times they ever did that? Maybe I'm by myself. See, tremendous play. Or to shout wow after an acrobatic catch in the end zone is not only natural, but necessary. It's not only natural, but it's necessary. How many of y'all remember the old Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah. And it had a guy you know by the name of Lynn Swann. And when Lynn Swann used to go up for the ball, he still, to me, is one of the best receivers that has ever played the game. Because Lynn Swann used to lay out in the air. And his catches would be so magnificent. As a kid, I'd be in awe. Oh, man, he caught it again. Man, he caught it in between two people. Man, you see that catch? Emotions. It's necessary for us to enjoy what we're watching. I'll tell you what. The next time you watch a football game, try not to express yourself at all. See how well you enjoy that football game. Or whatever it is that you watch. Try not to give any emotion whatsoever. And see how well you will, what type of experience you will have. You ever watch a movie and it's a good movie and I'm a movie buff, so you and it's a good movie and somebody's watching it for the first time, but you there and you done seen the whole movie?
Yeah.
And it's such a good movie that you every time that part come up, man, you gotta see why. Wait, man, I can't tell you that. You see? Emotions. They're necessary. Not just for church or whatever, but for the whole fullness of life. Ah, God, thank you, Jesus. This whole thing about being an emotionless people is a lie from hell. We have emotions. We have desires. We have things that makes us shout. We have things that makes us cry. We have things that brings joy overly into our lives. And we have to express that. So try. When you watch that tearjerker movie, well, watch, it's going, oh, I cry every time I see this. Yep. And mine is It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie. And every time he gets Zuzu petals, he's just so happy that now he got, he remembers Zuzu petals. Boy, that thing get me, I don't know what. It just do. It says you will quickly find that you do not enjoy the action nearly as much as you do when you have freedom. See, expressing your emotions should be free. There should be nothing to constrain you from crying when you feel like crying, for laughing when you feel like laughing, for raising your hand, for, you know, how many of y'all used to do the wave at the football game? Oh, and our next group, oh, you know, next group, oh, right? You're showing emotions. Why? Because they doing something good out there, or you just want to act crazy like the rest of them. You have the freedom. It's freedom to express yourself in praise and excitement. The psalm says, praise the Lord. So in other words, you have the freedom to lift your hand. You have the freedom when the song that you're singing, like you sung so beautiful this morning, gets on the center of your heart. And it's okay that if you feel that song, that to raise your hand. It's okay that after the song, it has been good to say amen. It's okay that when the preacher says something to you and you know it to be true, and you can say amen, preacher. I'm trying to get y'all boosted up in that one. So, but you have the freedom because emotions are a very great part of who we are. And God wants us to use all of our emotions in giving honor and glory and praise and worship to Him. Amen. Father God, I pray I want to thank you, God, for this time, for this message, God, that, Lord, you use it now to get to the heart of all of us, Father. That, Lord, we give our whole self to you. Our whole self, all that we are, in praise and worship. Because you've been just that good. You deserve all of us because you gave us all of yourself. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.